Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word. But really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Let me love in a holy way.
Let me love.
So it is, and so we let it be. Oh, let me love in a holy, holy way. Let me live in a holy, holy way. Let me be that place where God gets to represent itself and show up. And you know what's real simple? When you let go of the gospel of illusion, you get to embrace the gospel of inclusion. Because, you know, when you're dealing with illusion, guess what happens? You feel separated. You feel alone. You feel like the whole world is against you, and you're worried about what's going to happen. If someone's going to get you, you're going to get fried. But when you're included, when you're tapping into the essence of who you are, when you embrace the gospel of inclusion, you automatically start expressing and living life from a holy, holy way. And your presence becomes a healing agent for others. I'm kind of excited, just a little bit. Just a tiny little bit. Can you feel it? Well, if you can't feel it, because I'm just a tiny bit excited. Yes, Ricky Byers Beckwith reminding us it's about to live it in a holy, holy way. And when you recognize the truth, when you embrace the truth, when you hear the truth, I don't care what you believe, something inside of you will jump and say, yes. And then you can choose to be part of the conversation. I say, well, I don't know, I don't know. But anyway, to find out more about Ricky Byers Beckwith, go to her website. It is weletitbe.com. Weletitbe.com. What a prayer. Get your seatbelt on, put it on, brace yourself, and right now, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You do. You make a difference simply because you are, simply because you exist. And if you don't know, just because you're listening to this conversation, you're making a difference right now. Embrace yourself. Applaud yourself. Just hug yourself and say, wow, I've been wanting to make a difference. I thought my life didn't mean anything. But right now, just take it from me. Just try it till it doesn't work for you. If it doesn't, you can let it go. Right now, you're making a difference because you're part of the change that is happening. Every thought you're thinking, everything you're feeling right now is sending out a vibration into the ethers. And some people are catching it. They're like, ooh, what was that? Yes, yes, yes. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. And sometimes we go a little bit longer because we can, you know. And, all the shows are archived. So feel free if you can't hear the whole interview, you say, I really got to go, but I got to go back to jail. I want to listen, but I got to go back to work. It's okay. Just be in the moment. Be in the moment, and then you can listen to the show again. And even if you listen to all the show, come back and listen, because I guarantee you, you will hear something that you didn't hear before. And you are in for a treat. It's time for a shift in consciousness. See, all that shift without the F that you've been dealing with, once you let go of that shift without the F, you really have a shift in consciousness. And the difference between the other shift without the F is there's no F in it. But when you allow yourself to be free, when you make the choice to be free, you add the F into the other word, and you have a shift. Brace yourself, brace yourself. I am a little bit excited. So if you're listening for the first time, don't worry. You'll get used to me because you're going to come back. I have no doubt. Speaking of coming back, let me tell you a little bit of what goes on here so you know what we do and so you can be in order. Because we just want you to feel comfortable. Regular listeners will serve you some tea and all the other great stuff. But just be home. Relax. Take your shoes off. Yes. Pour yourself some tea. Okay, if you want coffee, go drink some coffee. Whatever makes you happy. Yes, indeed. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. You should call some Pearson's in the house if you have any questions now. You better call in, because even if you're in an all-you-can-eat restaurant, you got to leave one eventually. So call in now. But if you really want to wait, there's more ways to have some more. More ways to have some more. Yeah, I like that. Yes, what else did I tell you? 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We are taking your questions and your comments. And also, we're taking your questions on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. Ask, clear your throat, Ask Life Coach Ade fan page on Facebook. You can post your questions there. We'll get to it. Casper, I will get to it. And we'll read your questions, present the questions to Bishop Carlton. And what else do we do? Yeah, if you don't do Facebook, you know, or you're at work and you've been blocked, then what you need to do is go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's a tab there that, what is it called? Ask Life Coach. Hey, real simple. You don't have to think. It's a no-brainer. Click that, and I will get your questions, and we'll get to it. And speaking of lifeconversationsmedia.com, you'll find out more about upcoming guests, past guests. Really, you just want to check this website out. You just want to check it out. So next week we have some great guests coming up. Who do we have? We have Gurutej Kaur talking about the centers, the moon centers in females and how we can tap in. Well, even they can tap into their moon centers. We have John Holland coming next week. We have Asaba joining us. Just great guests. Check it out, lifeconversationsmedia.com. What else do I need to tell you? At 1 o'clock, we have Celestial Moments with Celeste Morgan. And there's a lot that goes on here. And, come back. For those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome home. Where have you been? We've been waiting for you. It's nice to have you. Come in. Give me a hug. Come on, relax. Stop giving me church hugs. You know, the church hugs are where they kind of stick their you-know-what out, and they hug you and pat you gently. Hug me like you're happy to see me. Yeah, that's more like it. Yes, let's see. What else before we jump into this interview? Because I know that I'm going to get lost, literally get lost in this conversation. So I think that's it. That's it. Welcome all of you in the chat room. You can post your questions on Ask Life Coach at a fan page. And 347-426-3346. If you want to share your thoughts or you have a question for Bishop Carlton Pearson. And one more thing. It's relevant. I can't remember. It just left. So let me read a little bit about this wonderful soul called Bishop Carlton Pearson. Because you got to know that your soul is here to do some great things. If you're transcending and transforming, on the stage of life, in a time where we have YouTube and social networks and everybody has opinion and they can't wait to share, and you'll say, wait a minute, you mean hell. I used to talk that stuff, but I think I recognize something different here. Here's a little bit about him, but there's so much more. I'm going to read maybe a paragraph, and I'll give you the website to find out more about Bishop Pearson, because he's an amazing, dynamic man, and I know you've heard him, so I can't even say if you haven't heard him. You have. I can feel it. Bishop Carlton Pearson is blazing a new trail of spiritual leadership on a global scale. We can just stop right there. With 30 years of celebrated national media exposure, Bishop Pearson has demonstrated that he is an esteemed, articulate, and leading authority of the modern Pentecostal church. With the summer 2000 release of his new book, The Gospel of Inclusion, Bishop Pearson is quickly becoming known as a voice of reason in a world of religious extremes. A voice of reason. Yes, so much more I could read, but time is doing what time does. To find out more about Bishop Pearson, go to his website. I'm going to give you two. One is New Dimensions. It's about expansion. It's about growing in consciousness. NewDimensions.us. Not .com, .us. You know what the U.S. stands for? United in Spirit. And the other website, the other website is Bishop Pearson's. BishopPearson.com. So the first website is newdimensions.us, and the second website is bishoppearson.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, we welcome you all. Physical beings and non-physical beings, please, please help me show, just help me share my appreciation because I am so over the top and so listening. So get to it. Help me welcome Bishop Carlton Pearson on Life Conversations Radio. Yes, yes. Everybody's excited. Can you? I'm a little bit excited, but everybody else is super excited. Can you feel it?
That was cute. Yes, I do. I feel it in you for sure, and in the universe. This is a great, great, great day to be alive. Great day to be alert, and never to be alarmed.
Yes, indeed. I am so excited to have you and just allow the conversation to unfold. I mean, there's so much I can read about you. I know we have quote unquote limited time. So I just and people are not really here to listen to me. They're here because of you. But hopefully, once they hear you, they'll feel obligated to come back. That's full of illusion. Now, before we jump into the conversation, before we talk about the gospel of inclusion, I want to ask you, from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Bishop Carlton Pearson?
Well, I am who I am becoming. I'm constantly evolving, and in consciousness and in my own personal spiritual character. And I'm going to be celebrating my 59th birthday just next week, and already I have recognized that there's an ongoing shift. I keep changing because I'm organic. I came here as a whole person, and I always say that we, through our spiritual amnesia, forget our agreement and that we entered a covenant to come to this planet or this plane of consciousness, and I'm ridding myself of the amnesia to find out who I am. But I am a humanitarian. I love human beings. I am a peace agent and an agent for change. I like to be part of everybody I encounter's memory. I like to help people recall, reclaim, recollect, and reconnect to their divine selves, to their essential being, not their accidental being, but their essential person. And that's a powerful awakening right there. That takes, I call that being born again, being awakening to who you are and becoming accurately, exactly, and precisely that person and not an impersonator, not an imposter. Many people are frustrated because they're busy trying to impersonate who they think people want them to be. And in the process, they lose who they are and never really evolve into who they could become.
That's a whole show. Like people can just start taking that just one sentence at a time. And you talk about being the agent of change, and that you are, you live it. We see it is on YouTube, it's on the all the internet. And you know, let's start from the well, it's not the beginning, but the beginning of the new beginning. You know, your transition. You've been in the community where people were taught that there's two places you go when you make your transition, when you die. And where you go depends on how you behave, and if you can, there's so many words I can use, but I won't. Depends on how you behave will decide if you're going to be bathing in a wonderful place called heaven, or you're just going to be roasted for the rest of your life and they'll be making barbecue out of you. And then you evolve from that to a place saying, wait a minute, there's so much more. How did that happen? What happened for you? What was the catalyst for you to challenge your own belief system to now a place where you're teaching the gospel of inclusion?
Well, the first part of it was I got really emotionally, spiritually, psychologically drained of the fear-based theology around this God with an anger management problem who would send me to this customized torture chamber called hell and leave me there infinitely. The whole concept of hell has been first obscure, then absurd, obscene, ultimately vulgar, that a loving God, and that hit me when I had my first child, my son. He was crawling around on the floor at my feet, and I was almost in a worshipful state of mind. I was just so elated that this human being, my wife and I, had brought to this planet, and I just loved him so much. And then his sister came 2 years later, and I just adored these babies. And I kept thinking, I heard the spirit say inside of me, what could that little boy do to make you send him to hell forever? At that time, I had a very strong belief in hell. And instantly, without even any moment's hesitation, I said, nothing, absolutely nothing. I could never eternally punish my child. Because that's not just punishment, that's torture, that's hatred. That's completely out of the moral character of a loving God. It didn't fit. And so I was trying to figure out how that, and that was the beginning of my more aggressive thinking. I allowed myself to repudiate some of my traditional presupposed notions about God and life and the universe, the church, faith, heaven and hell, the whole thing. That was my journey. That was, and my son will be celebrating his 18th birthday in June. And goes to college next fall. So that was the beginning. But I had had all these terrible feelings about hell because I had too many, particularly my dad's mom and dad, who had, quote-unquote, backslidden out of the Pentecostal tradition or the fundamentalist tradition, and we believed they were in hell. That's what we were told. They had both gone to hell, and several of their sons and my cousins and my friends, and I had so many friends in hell, not to mention the whole supposedly unbelieving world. Everybody that wasn't a member of our church was going to hell. So I thought, this ain't working for me.
Right.
So, but it took me a while to get to the place where I could confront my fears and my questions about what I believed, why I believed it, and how those beliefs were adding to or subtracting from the quality of my life. And people are at that place right now. They're asking themselves, and I ask your audience, what do you believe, why do you believe it, and how do those beliefs add to or subtract from the quality of your life? Are you living life abundantly, as Jesus preached, or aboundingly? Are you living it expressively and positively and powerfully with all of its possibilities? And if you aren't, what's hindering you? It's generally, it's always our belief systems, what we believe. Because we become what we believe, what we speak, what we think, how we experience ourselves. So I'm on a teaching series about the search for significance, or the sign, the design, the assign, the signature, the signals that you send into the universe. How do you – those your significance is based on what you believe about you. Jesus says these signs or these signatures, these indications, these markings – follow those who believe. And the inference there is just not, he didn't say what you believe, but who believes. So what do you believe about anything? Particularly, what do you believe about you? Because what you believe about you will send signals out into the universe and signatures and signification. You will find your significance personally in what you believe. So you have to question your beliefs. And you know, we're all on a kind of a quest or conquest, or we have questions and inquest and requests for life information. You know, how to live life abundantly, how to live life to its fullest, how to experience life or experience ourselves as living beings fully expressively. We're all doing that constantly. That's an ongoing search. It's a wonderful search. But if it's blocked by beliefs that hold you hostage to going on to maturity, then you get stuck and stagnated, very frustrated, very angry, and you start acting it out, and your body then reacts, I think, with sickness because of holding on to all those presupposed notions that are inaccurate.
You talk about confronting your fears and asking deep questions, reflective questions, questions that help us move forward, that get us to really understand who and what we are. And I want to go back to when you were questioning yourself, it really is a way to help people see the process. When you got to a point when you said, enough already, I've got to express this, what I'm feeling. There's something inside of me that is seeking to be birthed. Because people will say to me, well, you know, I'm on this new spiritual path, but I want to live my passion, but I'm afraid of losing my family members, of losing my friends. You lost friends and family members on a global level. How did you move through that experience where everything that you had that you stood on was really removed from right underneath you?
Well, first of all, it was stunning, it was staggering, it was astounding, but also profound. I could not resist this irresistible tug or pull outside my safety zone or my comfort zone. I kept looking over on the other side, and I said, wait a minute, where I am, I'm at, supposedly at the top of my game. Why am I not happy or satiated? Why am I not fulfilled? It was miserable, and yet at the same time, it was like a deep tissue massage. It hurts, but I felt relief and release as it was going out of me, the pain, when I saw that there's another way of being. And I was at the quote-unquote top of my game, as people would in a sort of secular terminology phrase it. You know, I had a great church, thousands of people packed out, no question about money, thousands of acres, hundreds of acres, I should say, 645-acre ranch. I was on nationwide television. I had written books. I had stellar awards for music. I hung out with the top players in my circles, from Oral Roberts to Pat Robertson and Jim and Tammy Baker and TBN and the whole Christian charismatic world, the Church of God in Christ. I had good standing and a not a small amount of respect among all those people. And yet I was empty. I had emptied myself out into that, and I was saying, okay, I'm ready for my next level. You know, Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, which means many floors, many levels, many spheres, many states of consciousness, many levels of awareness. And I wanted to go to another level of self-awareness and soul awareness, and it didn't fit where I was. I tried to lead my people to that direction, and they said, no, we like it where we are. We're afraid to go any farther. So I had divested myself of that, and they say I left them, and I say, well, y'all left me. I was still in this push every Sunday. But now, of course, they're saying, we understand now, Bishop, but you startled us, you stunned us, we were afraid, we didn't know, will you come back? And I said, no, I won't come back, but you will come to where I am in consciousness, and we'll travel further.
I know that's like, because the pain of hell was pushing you until the vision of heaven and something so much more started to pull you. And that's the truth. You know, that whole thing, this statement about pain pushes until vision pulls, that
yes.
It sounds to me that there was a bigger vision for your life that you experienced that it was pulling. You couldn't even stay where you were. It happened automatically. And I think really those of us who have gone through that change, be it globally, be it within ourselves in our own little community, we can understand that. I want to ask you this because I've experienced you at my church, Hillside Truth Center. And one of the things that I love about you, and you've done it already, you have a way of breaking words down. You're such a linguist. When I listen to you, I hear myself going, wow, I never thought of it that way. And you're just so great at it. You bring the Bible in a way that people can digest it. Do you see yourself as blending religion with spirituality, or do you see it differently?
Yeah, I do. I bridge religion, and because there are billions of people who are really stuck into the superstition that we call religion. When I say superstition, that's one of the Greek definitions of religion, desidemonia, fear of demons or entities or spirit. We have this horrendous fear of God or the entity some people call God, almost as if God was a demon, that you could trigger its anger and wrath and it would thunder the tantrum of an earthquake or tsunami or cancer or AIDS, that God is just throwing fiery darts from heaven, kind of like the picture we have of Zeus on Mount Olympia, you know, in Greek mythology. From Zeus to Jesus, there's this fear of the gods or fear of God or fear of some ultimate source or force that has a volatile temperament. And so sorting through that, I realize people believe in the Bible, and the Bible is, I take the Bible very seriously, I just don't take it literally. It's a very powerful book. It's a codex of information, historically and otherwise, philosophically, and even spiritually, that can enhance your life, but that depends on how you interpret it. So whether it's the Bhagavad Gita, or the Talmud, or the Quran, the sacred writings of the ages are basically founded in some sense of fear. So of God or the God. So we develop moral codes to appease an angry God or please a difficult God, whether that's looking to the east, praying five times a day, whether it's going to the Holy Mountain and praying in front of the Wailing or the Western Wall, or whether it's sitting in some corner of Kavanagh's place, asking God to forgive you and avoiding the angry God and trying to somehow conjure the good God in blessing and afraid of evil. You know, these are all mythical superstitions that are deeply entrenched in the consciousness of humanity, not just Christianity, but all religions. Yes. And so I'm trying to bridge the gap between the sacred book that we call the Bible and other holy writings or sacred writings, and get beyond the dogma and maybe even the doctrines and a lot of the disciplines into another state of consciousness to spiritualize, I think it's Deepak that says we're not just human beings looking, this is a paraphrase, for spiritual experiences. We are spirit having an earthly encounter. We have a mind, we have a body, but we are not just a spirit, we are spirit, pneuma in Greek. We're wind, we're breath, we're essence. And we're everywhere. And so when we encounter one another, we're only encountering some aspect of ourselves. And if it seems difficult in the encounter, that means that's an aspect of yourself that you have not properly dealt with. If it's a pleasant experience, it's reminding you of a step forward that you've made in consciousness, how to embrace yourself. If I say, I love Ade, I'm saying I love the part of myself that I experience when I'm talking to you or with you or encountering you. If I say, oh, I can't stand Ade, I'm saying I can't stand the part of me that I experience in my interpretation of encounter with Ade. Mm. So that puts the power back in your hands, the ball back in your court. You can create, recreate, or co-create your reality based on how you think, because thoughts are creative, they're powerful, they're inventive. And so getting the scripture talks about the renewing or the redoing, literally the renovation of the mind. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or your spiritual discipline. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We get information and inspiration in church, but not enough transformation. So yeah, I'm trying to pull together all these different streams to where we go beyond just the great information of expanded consciousness and the wonderful inspiration of transcended experiences, but then the powerful transformation of a real renovation of your thoughts, because thinking is so powerful. The universe doesn't judge you based on what you feel, but by what you think about what you feel. If you say to me, I'm sad, I'll say, what do you think about that? If you say, I'm really happy today, oh, really? Well, what do you think about that? And then what you think about what you think about, what you think about, and on and on.
Right.
It's unending.
Indeed. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. My guest, my very special guest, is Bishop Carlton Pearson, and teaching, sharing the gospel of inclusion, because the time for gospel of illusion is dying, it's dead. It's a new awakening. It's a new way to be. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're going to take a quick break. And Bishop Pearson, when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, in the traditional Christian community, there's the thing about Satan, the devil. One of the things that I experience is those of us, I mean, we're all spiritual, but you understand, when those of us that are on the spiritual path, I say we substitute the devil with the ego. Because I hear people saying, well, you know, it was really hard for me to be loving, but I wanted to be loving, but my ego was getting in the way. And what I say is, we leave one way of thinking and say, oh, I don't believe in the devil. I don't do that. Why are you giving your power away? But, you know, then we embrace the ego. Then the ego becomes something that is working against us. When we come back, I want you to talk a little bit more about the ego, and maybe, really, do we need to be afraid of the ego, or do we need to embrace it? All right?
Sure.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Here's Carly Jackson reminding us who we are. To be courageous, to challenge your own thoughts, your own belief system. Flush it out. This is who you really are at the end of the day.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free.
Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health.
Hey, folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Yes, indeed. We do the best hosting in the planet, and we make no apologies because we're speaking it into existence. You are listening to Ask Life Coach at AonLifeConversationsRadio.com. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're also taking your questions on Ask Life Coach at a fan page, Ask Life Coach ADE fan page on Facebook. Post your questions there. If you don't do Facebook or you're at work and the flat firewall is blocking Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. LifeConversationsMedia.com. My guest is Bishop Carlton Pearson. He's going to be in Atlanta this Saturday. And, oh, my God, New Thought Revival. And guess what? At Unity North Atlanta. Oh, Unity is not going to be the same. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Yes, we're taking your call 347-426-3346. To find out more about Bishop Pearson, go to his website, bishoppearson.com. Bishop Pearson, let's talk about the ego. Sometimes I call that the spiritual people's devil. People blame the ego for, yeah, I know, I was going to be loving, I really wanted to step out and show up authentically, but my ego was in the way. My ego is just getting in the way of my transformation. Please tell us, do we need to be afraid of the ego, or are we just edging God out? And if we are, where are we edging God to?
Well, the ego's gotten a bad rap. I mean, it's from the Latin and French concept of I, the id, the self, which is sacred. To deform that self or to make a caricature of it is when ego goes bad or goes awry. Learning how to develop the self with the dignity, the eloquence, and excellence of human beings being human is no sin. That's part of the process of living. The soul's journey is to access its best and better self and being. To go from, I say, the essential, from the accidental self, because accidents don't happen by choice, they happen by chance. Most people live in their chance self rather than their choice self. So, yes, you are a part of the whole, and ego comes in the English consciousness comes from the egg, you know, especially the yolk of the egg being the center of everything. Man has always considered himself the center of everything, and maybe in our experience we are. The earth is not the center of the universe, but we thought it was for so long. So we have these misinterpretations and these grandiose deformities of consciousness, and that's when the ego manifests itself in a more destructive than constructive way. Mm-hmm. This whole concept of the devil, you know, that's an aspect of duality that the human race has embraced, even in the Old Testament scripture when the command is given, supposedly in a conversation between Adam and God, that you are free to eat from any tree or truth in the garden, except the one that says any of the other ones are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, that when he says that we should not eat from the tree of two alliances or two loyalties, from God, good and not the tree of good and evil, God and devil or devil, that's the tree of duality. When you start living off duality rather than oneness or inclusion, universe, I call myself a universalist, universe, one verse, version, or versification of the whole. We're all part and parcel of one ultimate reality. And the more I precisely exact my own self, I inspire others to precise and exact themselves. And when we do that, we realize that we are one. So all you ever meet, as Reverend Ike would say, is you, some aspect of yourself. Every day you're confronted with some aspect of yourself that needs attention. If you get frightened, or you get humiliated, or you get happy, or you get sad, whatever you encounter that day, study it. Don't ignore it. Study it. Why am I feeling intimidated? Why am I feeling restless? Why am I feeling nervous or angry? Or why am I struggling with self-esteem right now? Why is my ego intimidated? Myself feeling threatened. Study it. And there's a scripture that says, don't forget to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels or messengers unaware. There are strange encounters, strange thoughts, strange dreams, strange people, strange conversations, strange invasions into your body. Don't panic. Entreat it. When it says don't forget to entertain, that word means to host or to be hospitable. To host. Don't be hostile. Be hospitable to whatever you encounter. Let it be. Let it come. Find out why it's in your life. It's there to teach you something or to point out something you have refused to acknowledge, which means you ignored it or became ignorant about it. Ignorant. Ignorant people are not those who don't know. This is those who don't acknowledge.
That those are the ones that ignore their rent that they need to play on this pay on this planet. I like that.
They ignore their rent.
I love that. I'm going to steal that. It's stolen already. And I'm going to use it. I'm not stealing nothing. We're one. Actually, I said it.
That's right.
You know, and what you're saying is about self-responsibility, because someone who wants to play the victim would say to you, Bishop Pearson, I love you. You're amazing. You're a great singer. But I can't go with you talking about what someone does is me, or when people piss me off, that's something. Now, I'm a loving person. I'm kind. But there's some people, they're just simply trifling. I can't go with that. What would you say to that?
Well, that's that victim consciousness. If you say, this person really ticks me off, it says, I'm being victimized by this person. I work for him or her, or work with them or her, or they work for me, or I'm married to this person. They're bothering me. They're ticking me off. All right, you're doing the blame game. Everything has to do with interpretation. Perception is the ultimate reality, but not necessarily the ultimate truth. If you perceive yourself the victim and interpret responses in the universe to you as victimizing you, then you have gone from being, instead of being the victor over circumstances, you become the victim of circumstances. Then when you put the blame on somebody else, you give your power away. When you say, wait a minute, I created this by my perceptions or interpretations, let me get back in control here, If I create it, I can uncreate it. That way you don't go around feeling victimized by everybody you meet. You have the short end of the stick. You was born, you climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Instead of saying, there's an old song we used to sing, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. And we changed the lyrics to this. I'm climbing up the right side of the mountain. Whatever I'm climbing up is the right. Whatever comes into my life is right for me based on my interpretation of it. I welcome it as my teacher. I welcome it as my refiner. It will not defeat me. It will not kill me. It is not my enemy. No weapon formed against me will prosper. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So the spirit that is operating in us, to us, through us, as us, is limitless and so powerful. That then quickens our ability to adhere to our God-likeness. If we're made in the image and likeness of God, that means we're creators. And we are, yes, whether we know it or not, we're always creating something in our thoughts, in our words, in our interpretations, and in our belief systems. What we say, what we think, what we believe, what we express, what we experience, we're constantly creating. We do that. It's in our DNA. If we're made in the image and likeness of God, image, imagination, we are literally imaginary gods, images of divinity walking through. So people don't realize you have godlike qualities and attributes and traits and abilities to create. So you have to be careful what you allow to invade your mind, because thoughts are powerful, and they're like magnets. Images are like magnets. They literally draw you to them. If you imagine yourself defeated, you draw defeat into your life.
The number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Bishop Pearson, you know, well, that the victim mentality brings so much up for me. And I was watching a video of you on YouTube, which there are thousands of them. People have a lot to say. But one of the things that you said was when you made the transition, when you were saying you don't believe in hell anymore, that how could a God that loves you, that's so unconditional, just put people in a torture chamber? And you said something that really stood out for me, that you were called a heretic, which means a separatist. And I bust out laughing because it's funny. You are actually bringing people close together. And I want to tie that with this. Let's go a little bit deeper because I want to get to as much yummy stuff before you go. Great stuff. You know, there are people who are using God, the Bible, now to create more separation. And you're using the Bible to bring people together. What are your thoughts about using the Bible to demonize, to kill people's spirit because of who they love, same-sex relationship?
Well, the Bible, first of all, we have to understand that that is not an accurate book. I don't consider the Bible the inspired word of God. I consider it the inspired word of man about God. And people are inspired differently. I'm in the song you were just playing when we went to break. Whoever that singer was, she was inspired because I could feel it. I loved her voice. You may have written a book. A lot of their great books inspired, men inspired to write books. Now, that means God breathed. But whether you write a book or not, you are God breathed. You are breathing God and you are breath of God. So anything you create comes out of that breath. Now, when you read the Bible, you must understand that it is a Jewish book written by Jews to Jews primarily about a Jewish interpretation of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just read it like it is. That's called hermeneutics, that you read the scriptures based on who wrote them, what they intended to say, to whom they were saying it culturally and otherwise. But what we've done is we've taken that Bible, which Biblia just means book, and made it a God. The Bible itself says that you make no graven images. The Bible itself is a graven image. And the New Testament says that we should dismiss the old handwritten laws, that we actually should separate ourselves from it and go on to perfection. That's in both Colossians parts of Ephesians. But people don't realize that. So we read it, but when we get stuck with the scriptures, we can use the Bible. I can use the Bible, Ade, to completely debunk universalism or my gospel of inclusion. I can find in scriptures anything I want, interpret it any way I want, to support anything I want to believe. That's how complex the book is. And we have to understand that when the book was handwritten, and we have none of the original copies, all we have are copies of copies of copies. There are no original manuscripts in existence that we know of. And the most reliable manuscripts are the oldest ones we have found. And there are different, and those are the ones we believe are closest to the authentic writings of the originators. Some of the books of the Bible are considered forgeries that will remain infinitely in debate because we don't know. When the Bible was mass produced, it was 1,400 years after Christ. It took 300 years, three centuries, to canonize it. Men, exclusively men, sat around tables drinking wine and cussing about what was going to be in and what wasn't going to be in. They were fussing at each other. And so it took 300 years to canonize it. And then with the 66 books, then another 1,200 years before it was actually mass produced with the Gutenberg press of the 14th century. Then it was in German. And half the, 90% of the world's population was illiterate anyway. They couldn't read. So you have to. They call that Formkritik, German for form criticism. You criticize or critique the formulation of scriptures, how they came about. Now, most preachers and most parishioners are not going to do that. They don't even want to do it. So we keep emphasizing these crazy amalgamations and caricatures of quote-unquote truth based on Scripture. So without having said all that, this whole idea of using the Bible to beat anybody up, Muslims, Jews, gays, straight, bis, or tries, trying to have sex and kings, people who are out there, whether you're an atheist or agnostic, we use the Scripture to beat everybody up. And so we've made it a battle. We've made it a weapon rather than a tool.
Yes, yes.
We use it constructively rather than constructively.
Yes, indeed. I mean, from what I know about you and what I've read, you've written the Gospel of Inclusion. Your new book is God is Not a Christian, nor a Jew, nor a Muslim, nor Hindu, .. Don't leave that out.
Right.
God dwells with us, in us, around us, as us. And there are people in this spiritual community that sometimes say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And so really what you're saying applies to all of us, whatever we believe or don't believe, when we remember that God, we recognize God dwells in us as us. Before we let you go, I wanted you to speak real quick about the soul. I believe that we're here. It's a soul journey. It's so much more than the materialistic thing that we chase, that our soul is here on a mission to express itself, to express God. Can you talk a bit about us as this being on this planet as a soul journey?
Well, the Hebrew word for soul is nefesh, means your animal sentient, that you're animated, you're active, you're on the planet. The Greek word, which I tend to lean toward, is psuche, where we get the English word psyche, psychology, the logic of thought. The soul is your thinking self, tied directly and indirectly, inextricably to the mind, the seat of reflective consciousness. Everything is consciousness. So the soul's journey is the soul doing what it knows. Conscience or consciousness has to do with knowing. Conscience, knowing. To co-know, to know in the earthly realm what you know in the ethereal or ether, the other realm, the other floors, they're all in the same building, see? So the soul's journey is the soul living out the expression of its divinity, which is memorial. When you live your best self or walk out the best of your soul's journey with accuracy, everybody you encounter, Ade, is reminded of their divinity and feel their homesickness to reconnect with their divine selves. When we all do that, connecting with our divine selves, we realize we don't have any enemies. We are all interconnected, interrelated. And that we're not only multidimensional, we are interdimensional people. The dimensions, that is the measurements of the soul and the extensions and the farthest reaches and rhythms and regions of consciousness, there is oneness to which we all, it's like E.T., the little E.T. creature thing, extraterrestrial thing, E.T. phone home. That was a prophetic statement. We are extraterrestrial within. Beyond, there's a celestial or extraterrestrial part of all of us. It's called spirit. And it is in tuned to the frequency to phone home, to make the sound or hear the sounds. The word in Greek is akos, where we get the English word echo. The sounds of being, they're everywhere. You have to tune into the frequency. So tuning and toning the soul, tuning and toning the self, puts you into the frequency where you access your best of being. And you relax. There's no panic there. There's no fear there. There's no obstruction there. There's only construction there.
You tuning into home. Before we talk about the Unity Revival that's coming up this Saturday, what can we do individually so that we can always remind ourselves to stay connected to home? That place within.
Be still and know. Be still and recognize. Be still and identify that you are God, or the I am aspect. That's the holy ego. That's the sanctified self and soul. Be still, Rapha in Hebrew, or Rapha. That also means to mend by stitching. It's one of the definitions of the term is to be healed. Be healed. When we restore ourselves and our souls to our wholeness, we know that we are God. And God fears nothing. See? So that's meditation. Maybe it may be an experience in yoga. Prayer, whether you do transcendental meditation, whether you do Om, or where you speak in tongues like many Pentecostals do, however you find, whatever way you can access your soul, you do it. Sometimes that's with music. The word music comes from the word muse, which means to think. So music, the science of the musings, that's all very powerful. We must be still, though. Stop. Settle down, settle in, and ground yourself or center yourself in who you are. Then you can hear. Faith cometh by hearing. The word is acoustics. That which is reverberating, resonating, resounding, or repeating itself in your soul. And know that I am God. Faith cometh by hearing. So what are you hearing? What are you listening to? What is really being imprinted on your soul to list? Listen means to list in. There's a list on your being. It's in your DNA. It's like the DNA, your genetic code, the listings of your genes. When we talk about being regenerated, that's going through an awakening. Regeneration means that you're replacing the genes that you have lost, the genetic spiritual genetics of yourself. To be born again is to be again what you were before you fell in consciousness. Be again. The word again in Greek is anothen, where we get the English word another. To be born another of another consciousness, of another state of being, and of another awakening, like they ask in the book. The Course of Miracles, have you ever seen yourself through the eyes of someone else that you have become? That's what's happening to me right now. I'm literally seeing myself, perceiving myself through the eyes of someone else that Carlton Pearson has become. Oh, my gosh. How powerful. It's like having an out-of-body experience. You're just hovering up in the corner of the room. They're trying to resuscitate the old you. And you're already released from that asylum, and you're not going back. You're out, and you're free, and you're sore. You say, hey, guys, I'm cool. Don't worry about that. Don't try to resurrect that one. Let me become who I am.
Right. You said, I don't deal with gospel of illusion anymore. I am now in the realm of gospel of inclusion. I get it. Woo, I'm just trying to hold myself together. Here, I love how you break down be to know and listen. And, you know, for me, it's like listening to the to-do list that's already in our DNA. I can't wait to bring you back. I know you're coming back real soon. And but you're going to be, let's stay in the moment. You're going to be in Atlanta this Saturday, Unity North.
This Saturday night and Sunday, yeah. Mm-hmm. Special revival
bringing,
of the...
Yeah, New Thought Revival at Unity. Okay, well, that's going to be something. They say they're going to raise the roof. So we don't have to worry about standing room only, right? You're going to raise the room. So who's going to be joining you there?
Well, one of the singers is Faith, I think her last name is Rodriguez. I've asked Brandy.
Oh, she's awesome.
She's going to be singing all week long. There's going to be bands and luncheons and sitting in the courtyard and jazz mixed in with my revivalistic approach. And I'll be teaching Saturday night. I've asked Brandy Paulk, D.E. Paulk, from the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit to come and sing that night. But she just had a little surgery on her tonsils. If she's not in a position, Faith, I forgot how powerful Faith was until I realized that I had been someplace else with her singing. I spoke someplace else where she sang. Anyway, she's incredible. There will be a live band, lots of music, lots of interaction, Q&A. When we finish, there's refreshments afterward. Saturday, I understand, is a ticketed time event, and then Sunday is their regular Sunday service. They're combining to one service, and we're going to have a great time that night. Just really, 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 really wonderful.
Wow, it sounds to me that the Filmers, Charles Filmer, will be there in the spirit saying, oh, my God, who knew that this is what we were created? When we were coming up with Unity, who knew? Wow, we're impressed. Their soul is going to be rejoicing. To find out more about the New Thought Revival, go to unitynorth.org, unitynorth.org. All the information is there. You can purchase your tickets. It's 7 p.m. this Saturday, March 17th. You can meet Bishop Carlton Pearson and get more Q&A. Even if you don't live in Atlanta, book your ticket right now. Something in the Facebook here. Tammy said, thank you. What a wonderful and powerful show. I love all that Bishop Pearson shares. Such truth. Wow. He ignited a flame within me. Thank you. So you're setting the world on fire. Transformation. Thank you. And before we let you get anything else you want to add or share with our listeners?
My book is called, there's two books. One is The Gospel of Inclusion. The other one is God is Not a Christian. Both of them can be found on Amazon.com or go to my site, bishoppearson.com. On there, you can see me on the Monique Show. You can hear the NPR interview. You can see Dateline to Hell and Back, 2020, Nightline, all the things we've done. You can download teachings and sermons that I've taught. And you can access me through CDP. At bishoppearson.com. That's CDP, C as in Carlton, D as in Demetrius, P as in Pearson, at bishoppearson.com for emails, or go to my Facebook and keep in touch. I want to see as many Atlantans as I possibly can on Saturday night and Sunday. If you don't already have a church home or you want to take a day off and slip in, we'll have a great time together. We'll be singing, and I'll have my CD, my latest CD with Let It Be, Let It Be, Let It Be, and Everything Must Change. Some of my favorite songs. We'll just have a great musical, spiritual, interactive time, and our souls will be highly elevated. So will our consciousness.
Yes, everything must change. That's what I was going to play. That's what I'm going to play. But Bishop Pearson, thank you. I'm on fire. I've got goosebumps. I'm trying to calm myself down. My regular listeners know I can get excited. Don't take much. My friends know just a little bit, and you have set me on fire. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Hope to see some of you at Unity North on Saturday and Sunday. God love you, buddy. Let's do it again.
Yes, indeed. We will. Peace and blessings. Let's give you a drop of Carly Jackson again, and Everything Must Change by Bishop Pearson. Oh, my God. If you didn't feel that, it's all over. Because I know I'm feeling it.
What can I say? I don't know. I'm just so full. So let's just remind ourselves to find out more about Carly Jackson. I'm about to play her. She's on Facebook, Carly, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A-X-E-N. She's reminding us who we are. Let's play that and then I do. I'm just so full. I can't even think. I'm so full. I'm a fool. No, but I'm not. I am one with God. I am the delight of God. I like
Carly. I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Yes, you are. Yes, I am. And just to let you know, Bishop Pearson, we're going to come from, we'll give you the date, but we're looking to bring him back in May so we talk a little bit longer, a whole hour and a half or two or three. Well, you know, you can do what we want to do. That's Carly Jackson. And Celestial Moment is coming a little bit later because of just what's happening. But we're going to play a little bit of Bishop Carlton Pearson's song, Everything Must Change, even you, even your thoughts. So stop holding on. It's time to let go. Let go or get dragged. It's on you. This is Bishop Carlton Pearson. Everything Must Change.
Albert Einstein said, "No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew." When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty. Nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. And whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. Making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mystery do unfold, 'cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly.
Everything must change. We'll play that towards the end of the show. I am so full. In the chat room, tell me it's saying, well, actually, on Facebook, tell me it's saying, my head is spinning. But in a good way. Can it be anything other than good? I understand. I usually have something to say after my game. There's nothing that needs to be said. Other than we're getting ready for Celestial Moments, you can find out more about Life Conversations Radio by going to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. We're also on Facebook, of course. So, Life Conversations Radio, there's a fan page for Life Conversations Radio, and there's a fan page for my show, Ask Life Coach at a Show. Just go to, well, Facebook, Life Conversations, no, Life Coach at a Life Coach ADE fan page on Facebook. Like the page, you can get regular updates, and then by bookmarking our website, you will know next time when Bishop Carlton is coming. So much to do. Let me, Bishop Carlton Pearson, I am so grateful. I'm grateful for you listeners, new listeners, regular listeners. Thank you for sharing this show with your friends, with your lovers, with your haters, with your pets, with your enemies. And like Bishop Carlton said earlier, you know, when you recognize who or what you are, you will know you don't have enemy. You're just sharing it with your inner me. Yes. It is time. I know you want to hear this song. I'm going to play it again. It's 9 minutes long. So I'm going to play After Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Let's see. Woo! Jesus. Okay. I think it's time to bring Celeste in because I don't have nothing to say. How can you, you know, no one have a radio show like... Everybody, let's join hands, and let's take a moment to be still. Yeah, let's do that. Let's take a breath, actually. Let's just breathe in. Breathe in what you're feeling, what you sense, and allow the things, the conversation that triggered a shift in you, embody it right now so that it becomes a way of life rather than I hope I can remember that. I hope I can always come from that place. Just breathe in what you felt, what you're feeling. And embody it, become one with it. And right now we are getting ready for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And I feel like I've been running around the block. I got goosebumps. Celeste, rescue me, help me. Where's Celeste? Let's see, I can't even find her. Oh, well, there she is, right up there. Celeste Morgan, how are you doing? I hope you can hold it together because I can't.
I know, right? I know, but what a week though. I mean, we ate well. We turned around, we embraced humanity, you rocked it out, told us to stop tripping, and then Bishop Pearson just knocked it out. I don't even know where I am. I really don't. Mm. It was so beautiful. You know, I had to break down egg after he was done. I never looked at it that way before. Okay.
Yeah. When you hear Bishop Pearson, there's going to be a lot of things that you can say, oh, my God, I've never looked at it that way, because he brings it down, he breaks it down, and helps us make sense. It's about critical thinking. It's about knowing that we can imagine that we are one with God, that we have made. I have to listen to the show again myself, and I love the ignorance. So, those people who are ignorant, they just ignore to pay their rent, to pay their rent on this planet. And how do they do that? They choose not to love, choose not to be compassionate and understanding. Anyway, Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. I said I didn't have anything to say, I guess. At that moment,
well,
I didn't. Anyway, Celeste, over to you.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. Beware the Ides of March, said the soothsayer to Julius Caesar. His reign ended today, all because he didn't heed a message from the most unlikely of sources. No need to walk in foreboding when you follow your internal guidance system. That's called your intuition. We can reclaim the beauty of this date by treating it as a sweet reminder to pay attention. It's Thursday, March 15th, 2012. Add the date and you get 2030. Add 2030 and the energy of the day equals 5. The fifth letter of the alphabet is E, and words like elegant, ego, and eternal connect us to the magical power of 5. The number 5 is the freedom lover, and has an intellectual vibration. 5 is connected to Mercury, and we are experiencing a retrograde, so be sure to check in when you are delivering your messages. The 5th chakra is our throat chakra, and it reminds of the power of communication. Words fall like melodies, and ears are open when we have the balance of this chakra. We have the freedom to sing our own songs and tell our own story. Today, we're going to put the spotlight on the Druid in honor of St. Patrick's Day from my newest deck of tarot cards. I'm working with the Sacred Circle Tarot, A Celtic Pagan Journey by Anna Franklin. The Druids were the Celtic priesthood and were accorded such a high status that they were equivalent to the first rank of nobles. They left no records of their own, but the Romans remembered them. Yes, indeed. When the high priest is a teacher, like a Druid, they remind us to embrace the gospel of inclusion. The sacred circle reminds us that we are one. However, we must learn to melt the walls of separation within ourselves. The duality of oneness, remembrance dance, calls you home again. We are transcendent of time and space. So what's your soul story? How will we remember you? Use the energy and wisdom of the Druid to express your story through your action. Illusion turns into inclusion when we keep our hearts open to receive beautiful teachers, starting with you. And that's the story of 5 for our friend the Druid. All is well. I'll see you on Monday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you. And one more thing. Happy birthday, John Stringer.
Yes, indeed. John Stringer, lead singer of State of Man. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you so much for being instrumental in getting Bishop Pearson here and the communication between you and Michelle, Bishop Pearson's assistant. Thank you. I truly appreciate you. Woo! This is one of those shows that just leaves you transformed for the rest of this, for the rest of eternity. So thank you, my dear friend. I really appreciate you.
Okay.
You know, I usually have a lot to say, but I don't. It's been said. Actually, to say anything else would be like, yeah, 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 just to repeat what you heard. But if you want to hear it all over again, all the shows are archived. So you can go back to lifeconversationsradio.com. See, I can't even talk. That's why I'm not going to talk. Lifeconversationsradio.com. You can download all the shows. Listen to it, share it with everybody, share it with the whole world, you know, because really, once you listen to this radio station, you'll never be the same. And regular listeners, they can tell you this if they were, why am I hearing voices? Oh, gosh, the people in my head are awake. Let me hurry up and end the show. But anyway, my regular listeners, I tell them, don't go a day without Life Coach Ade. So make sure, even though I'm not here tomorrow, live that is, or Saturday or Sunday, make sure you tune in to lifeconversationsradio.com and catch past guests and find out about upcoming guests by going to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Everything must change. Old belief system must die. All the systems that are not supporting us must be released. Embrace the new. When you're feeling triggered, change is happening. Embrace the pain and allow the pain to push you. And when you catch the vision, that vision, a new vision of your life will pull you. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. To find out more about Carly Jackson, you can go to Facebook, Carly, C-A-R-L-L-I-E, Jackson, J-A-X-E-N. She's the creator, the expressor. She's expressing who we really are, that we are wonderful, we are free. Yes, it's nice to see all of you. Those that are just jumping in and say, let me see what I can catch at the end of the show. Well, the show never ends. It goes on and on and on. It's time to release the show. Be love, be true to yourself. And just as important, be loved. Allow yourself to be loved. Let's take this from the top again. Bishop Carlton Pearson, everything must change. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings.
Albert Einstein said, "No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew." When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty. Nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. And whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. Making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold. 'Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. Rain comes from the clouds. The sun lights up the sky. And hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. Heart will heal, but never much too soon. Yes, everything must change. Young become the old. Always
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the community.